Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mai, happy Friday. It's 5 o'clock on 27th of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the Craigneish bus route has been reinstated after a lengthy public and political battle. The track at the NSC was named after Manx sporting hero Sir Mark Cavendish. And could the family library finally be saved? It appears steps are finally being taken to keep the facility afloat. All those stories and more coming up. If you want to comment on anything you hear, drop me a line. Text WhatsApp to 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher.
Pastor Mai, Christian, a new bus route, including a service to Craigneish, will operate year-round, 7 days a week. The 8S service will connect Peel and Foxdale with the south of the island, including the Sound via Craigneish. Here's Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood.
Particularly like to thank Krista and the other people around the Craigneish bus campaign for all the work they've done in highlighting the demand down there.
A new company and charity has been found to take over the running of the family library and its services. Subject to the funding, it's hoped the solution will keep the facility open and the mobile library on the road following the end of next month when the existing directors cease trading. A motion will be going before next month's Tynwald sitting to try and reform the local authority rate system. Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper believes the existing structure is broken and the government is refusing to try and resolve the issue. And the Sir Mark Cavendish Raceway has officially opened at the National Sports Centre. Earlier today, the Manx Missile himself unveiled the circuit in front of learners from the island's schools, politicians and onlookers. Further afield, the boss of a controversial aid agency backed by the US and Israel claims the United Nations is spreading disinformation by reporting on deaths at their aid hubs. But one UN official says the four sites are a death trap and at least 410 people have been killed while seeking food. The UK Prime Minister says making concessions to his controversial welfare bill was the right thing to do, and passengers could be allowed to bring two bags free of charge, onto planes under a landmark ruling. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Kurumai, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Continuing dry and breezy this evening with further sunny intervals around the west and north coasts, but cloudy elsewhere with some hill mist. Fresh to strong south or southwest winds and those easing a little overnight as it stays largely dry. Temperatures tonight no lower than 14 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view DelshawVehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five, and a new bus route, which will include a service to Craigneish, is to operate year-round, 7 days a week. The 8S service will connect Peel and Foxdale with the south of the island, including the Sound, via Craigneish. It's hoped it'll be up and running next month, subject to approval from the Road Transport Licensing Committee. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward told Siobhan Fletcher the move follows consultation with residents across the island.
The data that was used to say, well, we're dropping the service, really didn't hang together. You know, it'd been a patchy, sporadic service. This isn't. This is 7 days a week. This is year-round service. So, but it makes sense when you do it as part of a wider network change. And so the demand for Peel to the airport is clearly there. We know all airport services tend to be quite well subscribed. That also improves the link from the south to the airport as well. And there was the opportunity then to improve. And the buses are timed to arrive in Port Erin as the steam trains are arriving there as well. And so we know that that was the big challenge. And particularly like to thank Krista and the other people around the Craignish bus campaign for all the work they've done in highlighting the demand down there. And delighted that we can find something here that, you know, improves the network for everyone. This is not just for the people of the south. This is for everyone. This is all the people who live in Peel and Castletown and the south. And that ability to make a more integrated sort of transport services is part of what we're trying to do here.
There are going to be people who say this is a political decision because it's your constituency. What would you say to those people?
I couldn't justify a bus service on the economics of it if it was a bus service that did Port St Mary, Port Erin and the Sound. So although that was the demand from my constituents, and you're right, people might accuse me of just sticking up for my constituents, that was never going to fly. The fact that I can actually justify a bus service that connects Peel to the south is the really important bit here, and that there's scope within that timetabling to include the route through Craignish and down to the Sound is a bonus as far as I'm concerned. You're right, you could try and claim that this was a constituency issue, but actually the data to support this comes from a much wider consultation that was about the Peel to the airport route, and this is an added bonus.
Well, some good news there for residents in the south of the island and also in Craignish. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking to Siobhan Fletcher. Well, let's stay with the theme of good news, because excitement was in the air earlier as the track at the National Sports Centre was being named after local hero Mark Cavendish. Learners from all schools on the island were taken to the facility to cheer on Sir Mark as he officially opened the Sir Mark Cavendish Raceway. Chanel Suku spoke to these pupils from Henry Bloom Noble in Douglas.
Are you guys excited to see Sir Mark Cavendish?
Yeah!
And also, it's really amazing because I really, really, really love the races and I can't wait for it.
He's a famous cyclist from the Isle of Man.
He's an Olympian.
If you guys could ask a question to him, or if y'all could meet him, what would y'all ask him or say to him?
Why did he choose cycling?
Why did you want to ride a bike for a living?
Anyone else?
Why do you enjoy cycling?
Has he inspired you guys?
Yeah, kind of, to set my dreams and...
I set my goal already.
Does it have to do with cycling?
No, actually.
Okay.
It's swimming.
So do you want to be an Olympian as well?
Yeah, I do swim a lot. That's
amazing.
Yeah, he's just really inspirational. And I can really wait because I'm so happy here.
He is very inspiring.
I want a signature.
No, me too. I want a signature too.
Chanel Suku, not Spuku, talking to some of the pupils there. Well, there were plenty of onlookers at the opening. The Max Missile himself unveiled the circuit and described the event as a massive honour for him and that this is the best place in the world.
You know, I started here like so many bike riders from the Isle of Man, and every Tuesday night I was racing here. It's where I found my love of the bike and love of the cycling community, and it's where so many others have. So I'm massively honoured. Yeah, the place I actually started, and not a new place, is trying to carry on any form of legacy that I've tried to create from the islands.
And you know, sitting here looking over at the track, you know, does it bring back that nostalgia for you, those Tuesday afternoons?
Every time I'm down here, I remember it. And it won't just be for me, it'll be for everyone that's ever raced down here. Yeah, it hasn't changed, the circuit's not changed. It's a good little, great little racing circuit, actually. And it's a great little vibe on a Tuesday night down here.
And how does it feel, you know, to see the next generation of cyclists using this facility?
That is great. I don't think it's ever stopped. Before I was riding a bike, kids were racing or riding around here. While I've been riding, as I started, there was kids riding and racing down here. As I've done my career, kids have been racing and riding here, and that'll continue always. And that's really nice. Cycling's a great sport to just get into, you know, not just for the health benefits or the racing feel, but for the community you get from it. It's a great community, and that's massively evident around here, especially on a Tuesday night.
Do you remember that moment when you fell in love with riding?
When I think about it, I was always in love with riding a bike. I didn't really know it at the time, but I always kind of loved the bicycle, you know.
Your career, it's taken you all over the world, but the Isle of Man is home to you. What does it mean to get the type of reception that you do get when you're here?
That's nice. Here's the best place in the world for me to come because I'm still kind of just Mark. Yeah, this is a massive honour, you know, that I've got an island behind me, but it's also a privilege that I have a community behind me, and I can still just be Mark here, you know, and that's a refreshing change.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5:10, and the final action relating to the high-profile collapse of the Kalpthing Singer and Friedland Bank has played out at the High Court in Douglas with the closure of the depositors' compensation scheme. The court order means that from the 31st of July, all remaining depositors have abandoned any and all rights to claim any unclaimed dividends and or surplus interests. The collapse of the bank in 2008, with £800 million of depositors' cash, sent shockwaves through the sector. Reporting now is Simon Richardson.
The collapse of Kalpthing Singer and Friedlander Isle of Man Limited was controversial, leading to a high-profile dispute between the Isle of Man and UK governments. The Manx government maintained that KSF Isle of Man Limited had been a solvent bank that was rendered insolvent by the actions of the UK authorities when the UK was seeking to protect its own position. The dispute centred around the transfer of £555 million of unsecured funds from KSF Isle of Man into KSF UK. The Isle of Man maintained that had the existing regimes and protocols between the jurisdictions been adhered to, then the situation could have been managed with significantly less impact on the Isle of Man and possibly avoided altogether.
Simon Richardson reporting there. A motion will be going before next month's Tynwald to try and reform the local authority rate system. Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper believes the existing structure is broken and the government is refusing to try and resolve the issue. His proposal will ask Tynwald to introduce a self-declaration method, which is currently used for calculating income tax and national insurance. Mr. Hooper says this model can work and is fairer than what's in place.
Successive governments have tried to reform rates and they've never quite got there. There was a consultation back in 2015. I think that was the most recent kind of good start to try and reform the rate system. Then the last government started messing around with area-based models and aeroplanes taking photos. So I think it's really time to actually get moving on this, because if we are trying to find better and fairer ways of funding public services, you have to have a good system to base that on. And I don't think it is right to base the way we pay for things on the current rate system. The problem, though, is how you value those properties. And this is where it always gets caught in the quagmire, because if government is going to centrally revalue everybody's property, it's going to cost a lot of money. And actually, that doesn't really achieve anything. So the second part of the motion says, actually, this should be done on a self-assessment basis. The reason for that is all of our tax system is self-assessment. Our income tax is self-assessment. We tell the Treasury how much we've earned. National insurance is the same. Our tax systems are all based on this idea that you can trust people, by and large, to tell you the truth about things. And then you perform audits and checks on that data to catch out people that maybe are trying to game the system. And I think property value is the same. Most people will have a rough idea of what their property is worth. And I think if the government puts a system in place to support people, accepts that people aren't going to get it exactly on, but actually people will make a good and fair effort, I think that's probably a good basis for a system of taxation.
Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper speaking there ahead of next month's Tynwald as he'll try to reform the local authority rate system. Now, subject to funding, the Family Library and its services will continue. The Friends of the Family Library Group says it secured a company and charity to take over once the current directors cease trading at the end of July. Amy Whitty, the chair of the Friends, says they hope to keep disruption to a minimum.
The current company and charity that operates the Family Library services will cease trading on the 31st of July, and the directors will be proceeding to close down that charity. Since we were told by the directors and they issued the statement, the Friends have been working hard and we've been fundraising and looking at alternative solutions to continue the services. We've actually secured a company and charity to take over, and the services will continue running subject to funding. Tynwald passed a motion which has given us an opportunity to have discussions, and we appreciate the time which has been given by the government to understand our position. The key now is continuing services over this transition period, which is over the summer, and obviously over the summer we've got the school summer holidays, and that's when we have our summer reading scheme. So the staff and the Friends really want to stay open during this transition period, but we need to find funding. The Friends are not only looking at short term, but we are looking at long term, and we want to secure a strong future for the services. And we're working with a new charity to develop a business plan and operating model for these valued community services.
So funding permitted, is that all services you're looking to continue, the mobile library as well?
At this stage, yeah, all services will continue subject to funding.
Will there be any kind of closure period come the 31st of July for the building we're in right now?
We're hoping to keep any closure period as short as possible, because obviously it will be the summer holidays, but we're doing everything we can to get the services up and running as fast as we can, subject to funding.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at our roads to start. There's a few things to be mindful of if you're out and about this evening. In Douglas, there are temporary lights on Broadway near the Victoria Road turn for resurfacing work. Over in Sandton, the temporary lights on the Newcastle Town Road have actually been stood down for the weekend, but they'll be back in place on Monday. In Castletown, temporary lights on Victoria Road, that's near the petrol station, for bus stop improvement work. And in Sulby, temporary lights on the Sulby Bridge for work on the manholes. And there's also a couple of things to be aware of tomorrow. A section of Douglas Promenade will be closed for the Armed Forces Day parade. That closure will be in place from the bottom of Victoria Street to Broadway between 1:30 and 2:45 in the afternoon. Also, the Viking longboat races are taking place in Peel, which means there'll be restrictions on the quay and the promenade from around 11:30 till 6:30. Nothing else that we're being told of, so if you do spot anything while you're on your travels, ping us a text, we'll give it a mention, 166177, studio@manxradio.com. Over at the steam packet, no changes there that we're seeing, and at the airport there were a couple of things, but those things appear to have cleared up now, so as far as I can see on the arrivals and departures board, everything is running to time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five, and the Isle of Man government will be out on the road next week for a fresh round of public engagement events, the so-called Listening to You sessions, which give people a chance to speak directly with ministers. But ahead of those meetings, questions are being raised about transparency, accountability, and whether government is actually listening. Simon Richardson's been across this. First to my Simon, just give us an overview of what's at the heart of this.
Well, Christian, the government says these events are all about strengthening its connection with the public. But political commentator and former government press officer Alistair Ramsay believes that relationship is under strain. He's highlighted a number of issues he says remain unresolved, including the handling of the King gaming scandal, delays in housing legislation, and wider concerns about governance and electoral reform.
OK, well, let's just take those one at a time. Talk to us first about King gaming.
Well, King Gaming had its e-gaming licence revoked last year after allegations emerged through international media investigations linking it to large-scale fraud and money laundering. Another firm, Dalmine Limited, was also affected. Now, at one point, the Department for Enterprise had hailed King Gaming's arrival as a major win for the island. Now, though, with criminal investigations still ongoing, there are questions over whether enough due diligence was done before the company was welcomed here. Although the Chief Minister has said no financial support was provided to the firms, Mr. Ramsay argues an independent inquiry would be the standard approach in other jurisdictions facing similar reputational risks.
Right, well, he's also been talking about housing, hasn't he?
He has, yes, he's raised concerns about the long-delayed implementation of the Landlord Registration Private Housing Act. Now, that law passed nearly 3 years ago, but still hasn't come into force. That's because the supporting regulations are missing. It was designed to raise standards in the private rental sector, but Mr. Ramsey says government appears to have deprioritised it, despite housing continuing to top the list of public concerns. Russian MHK Jim Watterson has also weighed in previously, saying vulnerable people are still living in inadequate housing, and he believes the shift in responsibility to an external board has made the situation worse.
And there are some constitutional questions as well, I believe.
Absolutely. It's quite a broad brush of topics covered. Mr. Ramsey's pointed to a growing feeling of disconnect between voters and government. He's referenced a recent public sentiment survey showing that many residents feel they have little to no influence over decisions. He's asked whether it's time to consider the direct election of the Chief Minister to restore a sense of democratic legitimacy. And he's also highlighted the poor turnout at local authority elections in April. Just 5 of 21 areas held contested elections. He says it raises serious questions about the current structure of local government and whether reform is needed.
And just finally, quickly, the health levy, what's the issue there?
The Treasury is consulting on a proposed health levy, essentially a new tax to help fund health and social care. But Mr. Ramsey says it's unclear whether this proposal has the full backing of the Council of Ministers. And he's questioned whether such a major policy should go forward without a clear collective mandate.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much for that, Simon. And if you are interested in going to the government roadshows, then full details can be found at manxradio.com. Well, let's just hear from the Chief Minister, who says he's happy with the effect the roadshows have had on government policy. He's recently faced questions as to what impact the feedback received has had.
The roadshows are both an exercise in listening to public views, but also an opportunity for the government, for ministers, to explain their current thinking as well.
Are they largely defensive? You're arguing for what you're actually doing in your administration.
Well, I think what Mr. Hooper sought to ask a question about what had progressed in line with the key themes of the roadshows. I was able to identify those key themes around immigration, security, taxation.
There was no eureka moment when you thought, you're right, we should do that.
I don't think, actually, that we would be unaware of the critical issues that are likely to be raised with us. So, you know, of course there will be government policy action in a number, I would have thought, of the critical issues that the public will want to address with us. And, you know, I would think we will take that on board, and there will, of course, be exchange of views. But there was a period of reflection last year after these roadshows. It's not about actual policy consultation. You know, as I said, we undertake policy consultation on specific subjects all the time. This is about the broader government approach, the initiatives that are being followed, a chance to explain what we're doing and to listen to public views in terms of the reception that those policies are receiving.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking to John Moss. And as I said, if you want to find out more about those roadshows, then we do have a full list of the times, the places where they are, if you want to go along, over at manxradio.com. Now, an Isle of Man triathlete, Will Draper, will represent Great Britain in the sport at the Elite World Triathlon Long Distance Championships. That's a bit of a mouthful. In Spain this Saturday and Sunday. Ahead of the challenge, Draper told Manx Radio how it feels to be one asked to don the GB jersey at the event.
I'd prefer to be in the Isle of Man kit like at the Commonwealth Games, but here we're flying under the Great Britain flag like you would at sort of the Olympics or something like that. Yeah, it's a great opportunity to race people in the countries rather than the trade team kit, so everyone will be kind of in their different outfits. We've got France and Spain with some really strong contenders, and then I'll be the only British guy who's competing in the elite race, and my partner Chloe will be the only British elite female. But we have 80 age group athletes, so they compete within their age groups, which is like 5-year age groups, and we have 80 representing GB, so there's going to be lots out on the course. They'll be just behind us, and hopefully, because we've got that GB kit on, there'll be a lot of spectators giving us that extra boost on the way around, which will be nice.
Have you got any particular objectives in mind?
So this weekend is, yeah, it's a slightly longer duration than what I normally do. So if anyone's familiar with triathlon, they might have heard of a half Ironman distance and a full Ironman distance. So I specialize in the half Ironman, which is about 3.5 to 4 hours long, depending on how difficult difficult the course is. For me personally, I think I'm going to race my own race and focus on my own performance. And just make sure that the run is going to be 30 kilometers long. So it's halfway between a half marathon and a full marathon. So it'll be my longest run. I'm quite an injury prone athlete, so I don't train high volume, but I've felt good, and in my previous races I've not dropped towards the end of anything. I've actually picked my speed up towards the end, so I'm hoping I can get some more sensations like that and deliver a personal performance that is good from start to finish, and then afterwards we'll look at the results and see how that placed me against the other guys.
Isle of Man triathlete Will Draper speaking to Rob Pritchard ahead of the Elite World Triathlon Long Distance Championships in Spain this coming Saturday and Sunday. Let's say hello to Rob Pritchard again. First of all, Rob, what can you tell us?
First of all, Christian, well, first off, former Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris has found out who he'll face in the first round of this year's Wimbledon tournament. Well, in today's draw for the gentlemen's singles competition, Harris has been pitted against Polish contender Hubert Hurkacz. The first phase of the gentlemen's and ladies' singles events are due to get underway on Monday, the 30th of June, so this Monday coming. Exact times and court numbers are still to be confirmed. In golf, both the men's and women's defending champions have been knocked out of this year's Isle of Man Golf Championships. Robert Noone and Emma Noone were both among those to be defeated during the quarterfinal contests at the Comus at Mount Murray last night. In the men's section, Robert Noone fell at the hands of Tommy Fenlon, who won that contest 4-2. Also taking victories on Thursday to progress to the men's last four were Daryl Collister, Neil Kane and Jez Bradley. Meanwhile, in the women's category, Emma Noone's hunt for another national crown was brought to an end by a 2-1 loss to Isle of Man Ladies Stroke Play Championship winner Sarah Blackman. Elsewhere, Kaylee Dawson overcame Diane Kinraid, whilst Karen Farragher navigated past Melissa McKnight. The one remaining women's quarterfinal between Shirley Price and Lindsay Tickell saw play suspended due to fading light last night. The remainder of that match got underway at around 4 p.m. this afternoon. Meanwhile, the semi-finals will get underway shortly from around 5:30 p.m. this evening. The current schedule is available at manxradio.com. And in football, Douglas High School Old Boys has confirmed the appointment of veteran player Robbie Ward as the club's new first team manager. In a statement following the club's AGM last night, it was announced he'll replace the outgoing Carl Gartland as part of what the club describes as a number of key changes to the club's structure. Furthermore, Douglas High School Old Boys says Gartland had already informed them of the decision to step down as manager prior to this week's AGM. In the first team, Ward will be assisted by Chris Coxon, whilst Matthew Haddock and former club captain Steve Clark will now take charge of the combination squad.
Thank you very much, Rob. What have you got on Friday sports coming up?
Absolutely plenty. Well, we just heard about the golf championships. We're going to have a bit of a preview of the weekend as well. We're going to be hearing a little bit about the international tennis tournament that's being taking place on Ireland, and of course motorsport returning to the north of the island this weekend. Plenty more to come.
Sounds like a packed show. Well, definitely stick around for Rob Pritchard up next with Friday Sport. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Chris Kinley in from 6 o'clock. Howard Kane has Sweet and Swing from 9 o'clock, and Rhiannon Evans, of course, she'll be in with After Hours from 10, taking you through till midnight. Beth is back with you from Monday, so until next time, take care. Bye bye for now.